The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning and welcome to the weekend. I'm Andy Brownell and I am with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well. Yourself?
Well, I'm tired. I've been busy. After the radio show, I am putting on a big shower for my daughter for her upcoming baby.
Oh, wow.
Just a little over a month away. So work's been busy. Life's been busy. So, you know, nothing's changed really on this end.
Sounds like good stuff.
All good stuff. All good stuff.
So it's a new year. A new month. Do we have any information about what's happening in the local market?
Yes, we have our first official Rochester market report, which was put out this week. So it's pretty fresh information. At the current time, there are 103 sales pending in the Rochester market, overall leaving 236 listings still for sale. So that results in a pending ratio of 30%, 30.4%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a low number.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that number that low since we began this program.
Not for a while. And a low ratio means there are not enough qualified buyers for the existing supply. That isn't necessarily the case. There's qualified buyers. They're just not in the market shopping. Okay.
Right.
And each market is really hyper unique because in Minnesota, we're dealing with January cold, right? So if you're a first time home buyer, it might not be the most exciting time to go out looking at houses. And then another factor is most people get off work by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, unfortunately, we're just about running out of daylight at this time.
But it's starting to turn.
It is starting to turn. But for now, if people want to go look at a house, it's more like, you know, I guess I'm going to have to take the day off, get off early, take a half a day of vacation, or do it on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm fine with working Saturdays and Sundays. As you know, I work every Saturday and Sunday, but a lot of people do have other things they want to do. And especially if they have kids, a lot of times their kids are in sports and there's tournaments, you know how it goes.
So it's a slower
time. Just like you just said, the days are getting longer. And in 6 weeks from now, I'm going to say to you, okay, we have really picked up. You know, here we are, end of February, and business is booming. So I feel like I'm not one bit discouraged. If you're a homeowner who's trying to sell the house, it might feel very discouraging. But believe me, there is a light at the end of the tunnel because these people are going to be back out there buying houses soon.
Well, and I'd also say if I were a person who was, you know, waiting for it to warm up and the days to get longer and intend on being a buyer. We've said this before, find a way to be a buyer now because you might actually be able to take advantage of things.
Oh boy, let me tell you something. Time in the market beats trying to time the market for sure. Okay, so even if it means we can look at one house or two houses this week, and now we're busy this weekend, and it's not going to be until next week when I happen to get off at 4 that I want to look at another one. It might take a little more time. It's okay. Let's just get out there and work around your schedule, because the sooner you buy the house, the sooner you start building equity. I read something so interesting. Even at the much slower pace that values are increasing. You know, for a while there, we were going up double digits year after year after year. And we talked a lot about how that was a little scary, because if it kept up at that pace, what in the world was going to happen for new buyers trying to come into the market? But, you know, it's back to the normal, like maybe it's going to be 3% year over year. Maybe it's going to be 5% year over year. But with all the factors that the expert economists take into consideration. I just read an article that on average, if you buy a house this January, okay, this month, 2025, that's $400,000. Five years from now, so January of 2030, my God, that seems like a long way away.
It's not, though.
It's not. That house is now going to have gone from the $400,000 that you paid for it on average to $485,000. So on average, you're going to build $85,000 in wealth, all while providing shelter to your family. So, I mean, this is such a smart move and such a good thing to do. And putting it off isn't going to, you're not going to gain anything by putting it off. It's not going to be a benefit to you whatsoever. If you're waiting for the prices to drop, I'll say it for the 10,000th time, prices are not going to drop. Prices are not going down. They're not going down. They're not going down anytime soon. They're not going down. And again, every market is completely different. So you might know somebody who lives in a market somewhere in the United States where the prices have at least leveled out, maybe even taken a dip. But I'm going to tell you that is not what's happening nationwide, and it's certainly not what's happening in our local market.
Oh my gosh, everything points to the exact opposite in this market over the next 15, 20 years.
Absolutely. So let me get back to, we kind of get a little veered off, but that's okay. It's good to talk about things as we go out, you know, hit them. But let's go back to this market report. So it does tell me here that taking a closer look, we noticed that once again, the $200,000 to $300,000 price range has the relatively large number of contracts pending. So that's where, you know, most of the things are selling. I think the average home price as of the first of the year in Rochester home sale price was $315,000.
Okay.
So it makes sense that that's the number where there are a lot of sales. I can also see here that between 200 and 300 price range, there's also a relatively large inventory of properties. So we have 38 listings available. So for those of you who are thinking, geez, I wouldn't mind making, well, if it was $85,000 on a $400,000 house, let's just say even $65,000, $70,000 if you buy something between $200,000 and $300,000, that doesn't sound like a bad little profit in the next 5 years, does it?
No, it does not.
So,
and that's conservatively speaking. If you have a year
very conservative.
You have a spurt and it goes up double digits again.
Right. You got that right. Yeah. And I like to, you know, under promise and over deliver for sure. So a total of 799 contracts have closed in the last 6 months. So it's not that nobody has been buying houses. Almost 800 people have in our local market and closed. And the median, I misspoke. The median sold price was not 315. It was 325.
Okay.
Maybe the average was 315. Anyway, so breaking it down, I can see that 197 listings failed to sell. So either people got sick of the slowness of the market and how long it was taking and they took them off the market, or maybe they were trying to, you know, sometimes they have an offer on something else that is contingent upon that sale. And then if they don't, if somebody else comes along and bumps them, then they no longer have a desire to sell their house. So then they pull it off the market. Days on market, the median days on market has been 77 days. So not terrible.
No. And we just got used to that weird number below 30 days for so long. And right. Now it's back to a more normal number.
But this is the thing. 77 days is the median days on market, but the actual median days of the ones that sold was much, much less. It was 21 days on the market. In other words, if you get your house out there, now listen close because this is really important information. If you get your house on the market and you are loaded for bear. You are ready to sell. Okay. You have done all the things. You have decluttered. You have done any, you know, minor maintenance issues that need to be taken care of. You've maybe freshened up your paint. You've had the house thoroughly cleaned. It's looking as best as it's looked in a long time. This is really when people say, wait, why am I selling again? Yes. Anyway, you got your house ready for the market and you've hired me or whoever you've hired to get it sold. And we are ready to market it very aggressively, make sure it's out on all the websites, you know, make sure the pictures are done professionally, make sure the house is, you know, staged properly and everything is looking good and it's priced right. Then it's much fewer days than the 77 because the ones that have closed were on the market for a median days of 21. So 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's really quick.
That's really quick because we still have a, I mean, even though the ratio doesn't seem like it, it doesn't seem like we have a shortage of supply because holy man, that's the lowest we've seen that number in a while, like you said. And so it looks like, oh, we're sitting here with way too much inventory and no buyers. Well, again, those buyers are just hibernating. They'll be out soon.
You bet. Okay, we do need to take a break, Robin. We'll do that really quick and return. Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results with us on Newstalk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Welcome back to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning and welcome back. We're with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. Robin, when you were talking about having that house ready to sell and everything, you know, just the way you want it, and even jokingly said, after you get it into that condition, why would I, you know, maybe I shouldn't sell it because it looks better than it has in years. I guess it perplexes me a little bit. Do you see a lot of homes going onto the market where people, the owners aren't doing that?
Not my sellers. I mean,
no.
I'm just saying, I feel like if sellers get good advice and good guidance and they're reasonable people and they trust who they've hired to help them sell their house, they're going to listen. So it's just that obviously there are people that aren't putting their homes on the market in the right condition or at the right price because that's what's driving that median days on market to sell.
Yeah.
Right.
I think, so, you know, you're selling your used car, you're going to go out and wax it and spiff it up.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and it's a, you know, it's much easier just to take care of it as you go. Just right. Take care of it as you go. And then it's going to be really easy to put it on the market. But sometimes time gets in the way and,
oh, yeah.
You know, and life gets in the way and we run
right.
Short of time and it is what it is. But just be prepared when it is time to sell it. And first place to start is just give me a call and say, Robin, come over, take a look. I am thinking about getting this house on the market in the next, I don't know, 30 to 60 days. What do I have to do to be ready? Because I want to be ready. I want to be at that 21 days on the market, not at that 77 days on the market and still not sold.
I know with my folks, when it came time to sell their house and they were getting very long in the years and, you know, some of those maintenance issues had mm-hmm. gotten ignored and things like yep. that. And obviously we tried to take care of some of it, but, you know, we ended up selling it the way it was. And if that stuff had been kept up with, I know that house probably would have had probably another $10,000 or $15,000 in it.
Exactly. Exactly. You're absolutely right. And that's why it's like, well, just, and the other thing that I think pains people is something happens like, okay, oh, darn it. The handle broke on the microwave and we've been living with this broken handle for the last 6 months and it's just irritating us, but it still works. So we've just done it. And then I come into the house and say, guys, you're going to have to get the handle on the microwave replaced or replace the microwave before you put the house on the market. And they're like, yeah, we were afraid of that. And then they do it and they think, no, why did we wait to do this for the new owners?
Right.
Why didn't we just fix it? So that's the mentality and the mindset that
yeah.
I want people to get in. You know, unless you think you are going to never sell that house and you want to deal with your duct taped handles and you're missing this and missing that, or the hole that your husband poked into the hall when he was trying to carry the table or whatever it is, just fix it as you go, because those are the things you're going to end up fixing to put your house on the market.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Just take care of it as you go. So back to the market report. I mentioned that there's 236 properties on the market currently actively for sale. This I find very interesting. Of those 236 properties, 36 of them are $1 million and up.
Wow.
That is a really high percentage. And do you want to know what's really crazy? 13 of those 36, so a third of them, are above $1.4 million.
That still astounds me. I don't know why. Maybe it shouldn't astound me anymore, but it does.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the new thing. You know the Preserve out by the Stone Barn?
Yes.
The new neighborhood. All right. So those are beautiful homes out there. Just absolutely beautiful. Built by Rymark. I took a client in one this past week, and it is slab on grade. Okay, no basement, no upstairs, just one level, which makes for really nice living, especially for like this couple's age, because no steps. You know, you're right. never going down. It's ideal. So anyway, 2,165 square feet, finished, of course, beautifully with all high-end finishes, and three-car garage. Basically, it's a patio home, so you know it's not connected to anything else. It's just going to be surrounded by similar houses and part of an HOA. Take a guess what that house is listed for.
I'm afraid to be honest, Rob.
It is $1,058,000.
Oh my gosh!
Isn't that something?
But it is a beautiful neighborhood out there. It really is.
And let me tell you what, these people love the house, and I will not be one bit surprised if they buy it. But when I first sold a house over $1 million in Rochester, now granted it was 23 years ago, but that thing had like 10,000 square feet.
Yeah.
If that gives you some idea of how things have changed and price has changed and prices have increased. And this is why, if you buy a house this January for $400,000, you are going to be so happy 5 short years from now, 5 fast, quick. We all know how fast they go. Years from now, that you have built $85,000 in equity, and that $400,000 house is now worth $485,000. To your point, Andy, conservatively.
Yeah, the bank account you live in, not my line, your line.
The bank account you live in, yay! But you've got it down. It's like, all right, you know, I remember when my kids built. They're like, if we build that big of a house, then we're not going to be able to put as much money in our savings and in our retirement. And that's stressful to us. And I really had to pound it into their head that, but when you make that house payment, you are putting money into your savings. And because the interest rates are where they are at, it really makes sense for you to do this. And, you know, they bought in and they're very, very glad that they did. They're very grateful that Mama pushed hard.
Yeah, I've passed that same message to my kids, because yep, it's based on my personal experience. If I look at our, you know, use the term net worth like I'm, you know, some millionaire or something, but yeah, if you look at how much of it is the equity we have in that home, it's exactly amazing.
That is where Americans build their wealth, you know, for the most part, is through real estate. And oftentimes the only real estate people own is their personal home. So they don't think of themselves as, you know, gaining wealth through real estate. People think, oh, that means the folks that buy extra properties and rent them out, or, you know, that kind of thing. And sure, that's even another avenue to make more money. But truthfully, just the home you own as your family's shelter is definitely building you wealth, and probably, in most cases, the majority of families' wealth is coming from the real estate that they own.
All right, Robin, we already have to take another break. We'll do that Back in just a moment with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. Welcome back to Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group Remax Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
It's Saturday morning. We're with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group Remax Results. And I know, Robin, you've been following the news and what's happening in the Los Angeles area and the horrible tragedy. And beyond the human tragedy, the amount of real estate. Yeah, you can't even comprehend it.
180,000 people in Los Angeles County have been ordered to evacuate their homes. 180,000 people. That is all of Rochester. And then add Byron, Stewartville, Wabasha. I mean, all of our whole market that we sell, everybody.
Oh my gosh.
To evacuate their homes. Think about that.
But that's
That's devastating.
This is good. This is going to affect the entire nation, right? I mean, as far as real estate market.
Every one of these disasters. So first, I look at this from a lot of different lenses, okay? First, I think about all these poor people in California. Like, how devastating. I mean, it is really, really sad. And then I think about, okay, once again, there's all these realtors who work there, make a living selling houses. And once again, that isn't going to be happening, right? They're not going to be selling houses to these, not in this area, not where it's burning, because there are no houses left to sell. Now, granted, the people who live there are going to have to live somewhere, but most of those people are not even insured, because a lot of them were in on that whole, you know, State Farm canceled. We didn't renew a lot of insured because they couldn't make any money, because the premiums would be so high that people couldn't even afford to pay them. So it's a disaster. $50 billion with a B dollars worth, $50 billion with thousands of properties destroyed. $50 billion.
Thousands. I've seen photos of, you know, entire neighborhoods completely gone.
And at least 5 people killed. And I mean, some of these houses are really expensive. I mean, you saw that, like, some of the famous people, Billy Crystal, Mandy Moore, Paris Hilton, lost their homes. It's a little hard to feel as sorry for Paris Hilton as it is, you know, just the regular old people that lost the house that they live in. But you still feel bad.
Well, and there's a lot of people who inherited those homes. They were built by a previous generation. And
they wouldn't have ever been able to afford them.
No.
Yeah. It is. It's really scary. And then, like you said, I mean, the insurance, it was already an issue there. And it's going to become, it's going to radiate throughout the country, of course. I haven't had a chance to speak to my insurance agent, but I just can't imagine how devastating this is to be in the business of selling insurance and watching these premiums go up, 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 up. I mean, it has to be hard. And it's something that we're forced to have. I mean, if you have a mortgage at the bank, you have zero option. Your house has to be insured. And of course it does, because the bank isn't going to take a risk that your house is a total loss, because it's not you that loses. It's them if they have the mortgage. So, yeah,
and even if your home is paid off, as we pointed out, for many people, it's their largest.
It's their wealth. It's their bank account.
And not to protect that is kind of more than a little scary.
Oh, scary. So scary. I mean, I think that they are saying that it's been 2,000 homes and other buildings that have been destroyed. 2,000. All right. And that this is probably going to be the costliest fire in U.S. history, which, I was watching the news one night. It said 5 football fields per minute were burning.
Well, yeah, hurricane force winds.
That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm so sad.
I don't want to live in California. I'll say it right now.
You know, how many times have I said, I'll pick nowhere other than right where I live. I am very, very happy here. And then I'm talking to some realtors the other day saying, oh my gosh, we're getting all this snow and we're not used to this snow. And one of them was from Maryland. And she's like, my gosh, I hate this snow. I'm outside shoveling a foot of snow. And I'm like, and I'm looking at green grass right here in Minnesota.
Where we don't have earthquakes and we don't have hurricanes.
Exactly. I'll take it. But I just zip my lip. I think, you know what? People think we live in this horrible winter tundra and it's so cold and we have so much snow and we can't get out of our house. And you just keep thinking it.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
But it doesn't mean, you know,
go ahead.
We have fire danger here and it is associated with the winter and the heating system. You know, as we heat our homes, that risk goes up.
Exactly. And, you know, I think what you're alluding to is that you read the same article I read that was written by the Rochester Fire Department saying fires, you know, definitely we are at more risk in the wintertime. And it's because people use those lovely little space heaters and everybody assumes that, oh, they must be safe. You know, they make them and they're meant to be used in the house, so they must be safe. Well, if you use them properly, then they are safe. But things like going to sleep with them on, not a good idea. Make sure they're not too close to the blankets or to the curtains. Make sure you don't have a dog that would knock it over or a kid that would knock it over. I mean, you do have to be really careful because a lot of the winter fires that get started actually do start by those little space heaters.
And people plug them into extension cords and power strips that aren't meant to handle that kind of wattage.
And unfortunately, a lot of these older houses that do have the drafty windows and are colder and do kind of call for those things, those space heaters, they have a lot of outlets that aren't grounded. And yeah, it's just, it can be dangerous. So definitely stay warm, but do it the old-fashioned way. Just put extra blankets on the bed or, you know, use the space heater, but use it carefully.
Good advice, Robin. Very good advice. And the other one, too, that we've talked about before when we've talked about home maintenance really quickly is make sure that dryer vent is cleaned out.
Yep, exactly.
We just had a fire a week or so ago. Thankfully, it wasn't horribly damaging, but they caught it early enough.
Yeah. Yep, it's very true. So there are things that you have to be aware of. And if you go to the Rochester Fire Department's website, they have some helpful tips on there. So it's good to, like anything else in life, it's good to just know, you know, be knowledgeable and do your research and know how to take the correct measures, no matter what it is you're doing. You know, just like shoveling heavy snow. Hire a kid to do it, for God's sakes. You know, how many people go out? And I don't know if we're going to have to worry about. We're not going to worry about that anytime too soon, but, you know.
Oh, you just jinxed it.
Yeah, maybe. you know, I do have my continuing ed cruise coming up. And typically when we go away for that, that's when the big snowfalls come.
Okay, so, I'm glad you admitted to that.
It's all my fault. I'll take full responsibility.
All right, Robin. We talked about getting your house ready to sell and making sure you're getting that price you deserve for your most important property. If folks want to learn more about doing that, if they are interested in selling their home, and especially if they're out there on the fence thinking they might buy a home, how do they get a hold of you to talk to you about all of these things that I've mentioned and many others?
Yes. Please do. I welcome your phone calls. And whether you just have a random question or you really do want to look into selling or buying, anything that's real estate related whatsoever, just give me a call. I will always answer your call if I'm available. If I'm not, you'll go to voicemail and I will call you back. That number is 507-259-4926. And when I say I look forward to your calls, I mean it.
You have a great weekend, Robin, and we'll talk again next week.
All right. Off to the baby shower.
Okay. Have fun.
Thanks.
Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results on News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.